Everyone, welcome into the hours. You got Mark and Tyler here. Together, we're Savvy Basketball, along with Claire and the rest of the Savvy team. And we're so thankful that you are listening to the hours. I was re-listening back to one of our previous episodes. Actually, we did an action bracket. And Tyler, you threw in there just like how appreciative you are of our listeners. And I wanted to make sure that we mentioned that again. Podcast is growing. We always get really good feedback in the actions bracket tournament. If you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen. But I believe we're going to do another bracket today for you. So Tyler, you want to talk about what we're doing today?
I do. I actually really enjoy the comments that you give. I really only read the comments on YouTube. I don't think there's a way to comment on the RSS feed. But please continue to comment, subscribe, pass it on, and share it with another coach. We really are having an impact in coaching. As I'm out and about, people are like, I listen to your podcast. And it's not just like very invigorating and energizing. It's actually impactful. I mean, these comments people are making, like, oh, I haven't thought about this. I'm implementing this. And so if you really believe in this approach to coaching, share it with somebody. We can actually change the way that basketball is taught by coaches and played by teams. Before I set up the bracket, I do want to give you an anecdote. This is a celebration of Savvy Basketball, celebration of a savvy coach, the way that most of you probably coach if you're listening to this. As you probably know, we have a local club and academy for girls only basketball players here in Phoenix. We started a league 2 months ago, and our seventh and eighth grade girls squad lost the first game of that league to the most talented team in the league by 40 points. Game one, 40 point L. I mean, it was a new team. We did not know how to lock left and race it, drive it, or space it. Saturday, 2 months later, we beat that same team in the championship by 20 points. That is ridiculous. A 60-point swing in 2 months is ridiculous. Let me give you this one caveat, which I don't think makes up for 60 points. The other team was missing their starting point guard and best player, right? So that's worth probably 20 points at that level. But still, to have a 40-point swing, and honestly, like, just the type of basketball, we're doing celebrations at the end, which, as you know, is a savvy program we would always do. And the girls are saying, We played savvy basketball today, which is savvy basketball is really just a placeholder for playing the right way that I'm sure you said. I mean, the ball was clicking and moving, right? The only thing that the opponents were doing was driving left into a forest of bodies and throwing up bad shots. We were bolting and getting layups. Like, it was savvy basketball. It was crazy. And so, I mean, that's just like a testament to what we're trying to do here at Savvy Basketball. Is that we're trying to do that for everybody. And honestly, the win is just feedback, just like the loss was just feedback. It doesn't matter, but the fact that the way we played changed and was obvious to the players and the parents and the fans and the coaches, that's what we're doing here. That's why we're on the hours, is so those little moments can happen for programs all across the world. So thank you for being a part of that. Please continue to share it. And part of being a savvy coach is what we're going to do today is we are going to build the perfect coach. Mark and I are going to share attributes of successful coaches, attributes that basketball culture really elevates in coaches and admires in coaches. And then we're going to break it down what we actually think is more important. And there is going to be a winner. The most important coaching skill will be determined today by this 16 attribute bracket of coaches. So if you think we missed one, we love putting in the comments. I know in the action tournament, someone was like, I can't believe split action wasn't in there. And we're like, yeah, it was a miss, but we did have, like, you know, back screens and flare screens and whatnot. But split action was missed. We love it. They're like, wild that, I don't know, something beat ball screens. Great. Tell us what we missed. Tell us what you think should have won. This is fun. We should have actually, and we'll do this in the future, had you submit your attributes earlier so we could have put a couple of them in the bracket, but I'm sure we'll get hit most of them. We're going to first brainstorm the 16 most commonly valued coach attributes and throw in a couple there that may be uncommon that we secretly value. So Mark, shall we get started?
We shall. Let's do
it. All right, do it. Mark is the holder of the brackets. And he is screen sharing now.
Right now.
Bam.
All right. Bracket is up. Tyler, we're going to start with one seeds.
Yeah.
You want to go first?
I mean, when I win the coin toss in pickleball, you have the option to serve, receive, or pick a side. I always choose to receive first because I believe that the opponents will be more nervous than I am. And I believe that we'll crush their first serve. And so I choose to receive first, which means you're serving because you asked.
Serving. Okay. I'll go. So my number one seed coaching attribute, I'm going to go practice, design, and execution. I'm just gonna put practice in there. Is that cool?
Yeah, perfect. And let's go practice design, because I think there are multiple other skills that lead to good execution. But yeah, practice design, practice planning. Gosh, that's so good. That's a one seed. I would argue that that is not where most people's minds would go first as the number one overall seed. But we here at Savvy know that the impact is made in practice, and the art of practice planning it's definitely a one seed. I don't know if I would have gone first with it, but it's definitely a one seed.
It's where like my heart is. It's like so like just close to who I am as a coach, and it's what I miss. I think I shared this maybe on another podcast, but maybe it's appropriate here. I just saw mic'd up. I forgot who the coach was, but it was an assistant coach. I was mic'd up and just bouncing around practice, just like pushing on guys and like motivating them, teaching details. And, and I was just like, man, like that's what I miss. Like that is what would get me back in. To be honest, like the games competition, cool. But that's more for the players. Just like the practice was my game day, and that's what I miss. So that's why it's my number one seed. And I think it's like the number one thing that you can control. You control the environment, you control the duration, you control the intensity level. You control the, you know, who's leading what. I mean, there's just so many things as like, that's just such an important part about leading a program. Like you said, I think a lot of coaches don't value that enough. So that's my one seed.
Beautiful. My one seed is going to be communication. And let me define this even more. I mean, it's so broad. I'd like to narrow it down. Clear articulation in sticky language, and teaching in simple, concise terms. I zone out when I listen to most people talk. In fact, my best friend here locally, Kyle, like he gets so mad at me because he can tell the moment I stop listening to him. He's like, geez, he's like, if I don't get my information out in 7 seconds, he's like, you're already thinking about something else. Just stay with me here. And I'm like, speak more clearly and get to the point. It's also a hindrance in my marriage relationship as well. And so I have developed like external cues to just like communicate to people I'm still present and listening physically, even though I'm not any longer. And so that's probably why I know if I'm zoning out, if people don't get to the point clearly, think about players, they're zoning out. So clear, concise communication. I was just too long. I'm sorry for having you all zone out there. I apologize.
Yeah, I was gonna say I zoned out. What were you talking about? I'm kidding. I was thinking about, you know, we kind of honed in on practice planning. Like, should that be sticky language or should that be 7 second sound bites? But I think communication is good. Okay. I mean, that's good. That's a great number one seed as well. I mean, that is. I tell coaches or younger like players if they're getting into coaching, if you're not going to go get a degree in education where you just learn how to, you know, like teach actual like teaching, and because that's so valuable because you're teaching the game of basketball, go get a psychology degree or a communications degree. And that will serve you more than a sports management degree or something like that.
What is sports management?
I was going to say, I don't even know. I mean, I guess if you want to be, if you're an athletic director,
it's more operational and logistical in nature, not actually teaching and leading a group of people,
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, hey, if you have a sports management degree, comment and tell us what you actually learned.
Okay, so good friend of mine, Gilbert Abraham, he's now the player development coach for the Portland Trail Blazers. We worked together for a long time at PGC, and he said this constantly. He said, if you want to be a doctor, there's a clear path. You want to be a lawyer, there's a clear path. You want to be a basketball coach, there is not a clear path. There's no degree you go get, no, you know, nationally recognized, you know, school or training program that you go to. Really, it's just be one of the four coaches on staff for one of the best coaches in the world, and then you have a chance. That's it. So what do you do for the thousands of people in this massive growing industry that more and more money is flooding into? What do? Right? Most people just go there and start training kids. And they're like, I'm a trainer with no training at all. I mean, it's a massive need. And yet it's also one that most coaches wouldn't value to actually invest in. And it really is one of the things that led me and us, Mark, who started with his own course side and then joined Savvy. It led us to do what we do because we are the thing. And there's other good ones out there as well. Shout out to all the other great coach development programs and products. I love that you are actually doing things to serve coaches because it is a massive need. So that's what we're doing here.
All right. My next number one seed is, and tell me if I need to get clear on this, is system design. So building your offensive, defensive, rebounding system, shot selection systems, being able to put to design those to where they all complement each other.
Yeah. And maybe we can put into that like system, like that you are system and process driven.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that you prioritize and have that good. All right. I'm going to say high standards.
So culture,
I think culture is a part of culture. So even if you don't have a clear culture and you're not a good culture coach, it's that every single moment, every single day, you are raising and holding the line more so than anyone else.
Okay. Got
it. Players, with assistants, with parents. It's like, it's uncomfortable how often this head coach is calling you out and holding you accountable to high standards in everything.
What coach, any sport, is the standard for high standards in your opinion? Like, which one comes to mind if you had to put a coach name to this?
I think you would be better at this.
Mine's not a basketball coach. Nick Saban comes to mind. He's just relentless with high standards.
Okay. See, I just don't know these things, but that makes sense. I mean, I think you could look at, and here's why it's a one seed. I think you could look at, this is just my prediction, any coach in any sport with sustained long-term success, and this is going to be an attribute they have. And that should be a sign of a one seed. I'd say Greg Popovich would be an example of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. He's got a lot of really good. I'm sure Greg Popovich will be all over this board if we could assign attributes.
I think any great coach would be all over this board. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Okay. We ready for my two seed?
Uh-huh.
Oh man, I'm going in between here. I'm gonna do this thing that I'm not in love with, but I think it deserves a two seed. I'm gonna go recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, it only captures like a certain segment of coaches. So under recruiting, it could be like AAU program. Like a lot of, even in my programs in the past, some people might accuse us of recruiting, but like I was never shy about promoting our program. And, you know, in a lot of like what we started to get is like we recruited ourselves, like the way we showed up, the way we played, the way we competed, the way we acted outside of the 32 or 40 minutes of gameplay, like that's recruiting, you know, building relationships.
Your program would grow. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Why so I'm going to say recruiting, but it's more than just coaches probably thinking of just like college coaches. Let's just kind of make that a little bit broader.
Yeah. Okay. Two seed. I'm going to say high energy. And this, this plays out in physical, emotional, verbal intensity, just high energy. You cannot expect your team to be high energy if you are not the highest energy. It's rare. I have rarely seen a downer, like a low energy person, be a highly successful coach. I mean, those people that just like are almost like Buzz Williams is a great example. I've gotten to spend a little time around him. I mean, just the way he moves, walks, the intensity with which he speaks, I mean, you just lean in. Anybody that I've leaned back with, really, really hard to see them as a successful coach.
Yeah, I think of the best head coaches are just people that have head coach energy. Like when they walk into the room, you feel it. And it's probably because all of the number one seeds that you have, it wouldn't be practice planning. It wouldn't be recruiting. It would be they have high standards. They have high energy and they're good communicators. Like that's head coach energy right there. So if you want to be a head
coach, scouting for who I'm going to, what's going to win, Mark is going to be on this side. I'm going to be on this side because I believe that culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Yeah,
but we'll see. And these are all aspects that do lead to a good culture, right? We've said this so many times as far as we define it. And as you know, we have launched a new community for coaches called TOC Coach, Transform Our Culture. And we don't focus on culture. We focus on these things. And these things will result in transforming your culture. The culture is like the game. Right? Games, the wins and losses in games are a reflection of all of the practice planning processes and systems that you implement. It's just a reflection. Culture is the same thing. It's just a reflection of all of your inputs. It's the output, right? These are the inputs that you can control. You can't control your culture. You only control the inputs, and the culture is the outcome. Just like you can't control the outcome of a game. You can control the inputs and you might still lose. You control the inputs you can, you still might have a culture that is not your dream because of other inputs into the culture. You know, it would be a bad attitude or a toxic parent relationship or a lack of support from AD. Like there are things you can't control in the outcome of culture. It's like there's things you can't control in the outcome of a game.
All right. I'm going to, for my next number two seed, I'm going to go roles and relationships. So they are.
Whoa! Anytime we throw "and" in here, it's actually two things. You can't throw an "and" in there. Point of question.
Okay, so if I had to get rid of one, I'm going to say relationship building.
Yeah. Okay, I like that.
And I think that is an input of culture. I agree. Right. In fact, it's funny. I've said deep care, high standards. Mm-hmm. Like that is would like encompass. How we build culture is we care, we put people first. We're coaching people that play basketball. We're not just coaching basketball players. They are not vehicles or obstacles to get what you want. Mm-hmm. Right. And a lot of times as coaches, especially I feel like young coaches that may have been coached that way, they see the players as like pawns of like, how can I manipulate these people in a good way? Right. Like how can I get them in their right roles? How can I use their talents and skills to get the outcomes that we want instead of just like, how can I pour into these people and make them better? Better people, better basketball players. Better people will make better basketball players. So deep care, relationships, high standards, that is going to be a heck of a 1-4 matchup there.
That is. All right, I'm going to go with staff development.
Gosh, you stole my roles.
I perceive roles as different, so we'll see.
Yeah, I thought about actually for mine, I was going to go defining and developing your staff, like defining roles and developing your staff.
So I agree. Roles, defining the roles for your staff is a huge part of staff development. I actually thought of roles more as far as identifying player skill sets and determining what roles they're in and playing time and like moving the chess pieces and putting them in the right seats on the bus. I mean, you can go in and look at a team and I can go and look at a team and we're going to see roles differently. We're going to value player attributes differently. And every time we work with a coach, we value it massively differently. Every time I do a program clinic, I'm like, all right, yeah, who are your starters? What roles do you have them in? And I always see it differently. And so like there is a good, better, best in that, but there's also a uniqueness of what you value. And that's another, I think that has a greater impact on the product that's on the floor, even more so than what system you choose. You know, Mark can run RDS and I can run RDS, but based on the amount of minutes that we allocate to what players we put in what roles, and what we ask those players to emphasize and focus on in those roles, it's going to look incredibly different. Incredibly different. You trade Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for Luka Doncic, you make a trade, those teams look drastically different, and you don't change the coaching staff, you don't change the system.
True. All right, my three seed, I'm going to throw roles. I'm going to put opposite of staff development, player development.
That's a good one.
It'll be a fun conversation.
That's higher than a three seed.
I know. It was almost my above relationships, but I'm like, you know what? Like, I wouldn't feel right not having relationships in there. But that's, hey, that we got to have an upset somewhere.
Is that the first time that we've gone like back to back, head to head? Otherwise, they've been kind of opposite, right?
Yeah, one was yours, one was mine. I just thought a good matchup would be staff development versus player development in the quarters here.
Okay, cool. So where am I going here?
You are going 3 seed. That's going to go opposite of my recruiting. Let's do that.
Got it. Okay, I'm going to go rolls.
Shocker. And you're like you said, you're speaking specifically to player roles, putting the people in the right seats. Okay.
Yeah.
Loving roles, it.
Playing time, all that.
All right. Give me one tip. So we do live training with all of our coaches every week. And I had a live training with about 8 of our members on Tuesday. And we went pretty in depth as far as roles and reads, how to communicate these, how to train it when we're actually in practice. And we talked a little sandbox and war games, but give me one tip that you would use to help identify, communicate a player role. I guess go more on the how would you communicate it to them when you define their role?
I'd say, Mark, you're the best on our team at getting to the rim.
Yeah, I am.
And putting pressure on the defense. And you must make our opponent show every possession down the floor that they can organize in defensive transition and keep you out of the paint. Be relentless attacking the paint. Never let them off the hook. This is your superpower. And if you're ever too tired to do it, you tell me and I'm getting you out to put you right back in. But the moment you don't put pressure on the defense, you're not serving the team.
Quick role play. But I can shoot threes too, right, Coach?
Yeah, after we hunt nines. We hunt nines first and sevens second. And you need to first knock down the first domino in transition, put pressure on the rim, and then get us into dominoes, and the ball will find you again.
Do you have a wall I can run through? All right. all right. Is it my turn? 3 seed?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going opposite. No, I got to go opposite of high energy here. I'm going to go in-game adjustments.
Okay. It was interesting. I just wrote down. The last thing I wrote down was in-game adjustments. So our mind, but this is what's interesting. We're like in the final third, final fourth of this first attribute that has been referenced for any in-game coaching. So what's your takeaway from this? Focus a lot less on what you do in-game. I know so many times after a loss, coaches will go home and beat themselves up about specific things that happen in the game that caused them to lose. Stop doing that, right? Everything that impacted the game was done before that ball went. Not everything. The most important things that are going to impact the win and loss were done before the ball went up. You know, like there might be small points or possessions you can steal here and there, but very rarely does your performance in the game as the coach have very much of an impact. And I think we just need to have that perspective as a savvy coach.
We used to say the hay is in the barn.
Like the hay is in the barn.
The hay is in the barn.
Hay is something that animals eat. Barns are someplace that keep hay dry and sometimes the animals dry.
Yeah, I was going to say, please don't ask me to break it down any further other than, hey, like we did our job. Like the hay is in the barn. Now we just have to wait for the storm, I guess.
Well, I just think it's an imperfect analogy because there's more work to be done. The animals don't feed themselves once the hay is in the barn. You still have to feed the animals.
What if we were just moving the hay so it stays out of the rain, though?
I mean,
I don't know.
Way to redefine the win. I love that.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I am defining my own victory.
Is it my turn or no?
You have a 3 seed that's going to go opposite of relationships here.
I mean, what can go opposite relationships? All right, I'm going to go very, very opposite then. And I'm going to go offensive tactician. So as Mark and I were discussing on a mapping session recently, your overarching offensive principles then determine your system. And then within your system, you'll probably have strategies. And then strategies being a strategy that your team is going to try to emphasize or look for, or a button your team's going to press, like, hey, we want to play through this person or this area on the floor or isolate this opponent, right? So that's a team strategy. And then there are individual tactics, which would be smaller. And so this is offensive tactician. So this is very specific, but like small offensive tweaks as far as who you're going to isolate in ball screen coverage, or how you can draw fouls on the other team's best player, or identifying that this defense hates fouls. And so we want to be extra aggressive because they're probably not going to foul, so they're going to get out of the way, or whatever. Identifying that they are dorking or not guarding one of your players on the three-point line. And so you're going to actually exploit that by having them go and set lots of ball screens, pass and follow up with the ball screen. So these would be offensive tactics.
I'm going to go, all right, would it be too close to say scouting and game planning?
No.
Okay. Four seed, scouting and game planning.
Because I think you can scout and game plan. I would say that's more strategy. So a strategy can identify a need for a tactic, but then picking and teaching and getting your team to execute that right tactic, that would fall under, I think, what I just said. So I would say strategy and game planning is higher level and more broad.
Yeah.
And there are often different skill sets.
Yeah, agreed.
Like on a larger staff, Mark, as the head coach, might, you know, take a look at the scout and say, here's our strategy, and assign me as one of the assistants, Tyler, I want you to, you know, we want to make sure they're really bad at defending ball screens. So Tyler, I want you to, you know, create 2 to 3 ball screen tweaks and twists that we can implement this week into our base offense. So we have multiple things to throw at them and really press on that tactic that I've identified through the strategy and scouting.
Yeah. And I think the real value too in scouting and game planning is most coaches could probably watch film and, right, and go, or go live scout and see what they're doing. I think this coach that we're building, or the expert coach, is going to know what they should actually communicate to their team and how they do that. So being able to curate that or limit that information that you give your players.
Yeah.
All right. You have a, let's do 4 seed. That's going to go opposite of practice planning.
Shooting coach. Like, are you the type of coach that can get players to make more shots quickly? I mean, I am confident in saying I can help players make more shots in 1 hour. I think that's really valuable. If someone had a lot of budget, pro team, high level D1 coach, I would invest a lot of money in someone like me. Just come in and help players improve their shooting percentage by 2 to 4% over the course of a season. That's wins.
Yeah. It is the most important skill in basketball, in my opinion. All right. 4 seed opposite of high standards. I'm going to say engaging the community.
Nice.
So partnering with parents, media, boosters, admin, just building community support.
I would say that this is going to be easy early round fodder for high standards, but since it's going to lose in the first round, I do want to emphasize how important and valuable this is. And its value is underlined by its scarcity. This is something that most coaches are bad at. You're just bad at it. And it is so important if you're going to build a program. And so if you recognize that you're bad at something, see staff development, you better go find that person that's good at it. And they might not even be any good at coaching basketball. But this is a must-have. It's not more important than standards, in my opinion, but it is a must-have. And that's why it makes the tournament every year.
Yeah. And I would say most coaches are bad at it because they don't realize the importance of it.
Yeah.
If they realize the importance of it, they would get better at it, just like in-game adjustments or system design or scouting and game planning. Like, if you're a coach listening, like, what have you done in the last 9 months since your season ended to build community support? If the answer is zero or nothing, you should start right now. Reach out. And if you're a member, reach out in the community. If you're not a member, join us on a 7-day free trial, reach out in the community, or send me an email, and I'll give you a tool that we offer up in Savvy Basketball and TOC Coach that will instantly create some allies with your parents. All right, you've got 4 seed opposite of system design, and then the bracket will be complete.
Offensive rebounding mastermind. If a team is a good offensive rebounding team, it's because that head coach was intentional about it. Often, like outliers in offensive rebounding do not happen by accident.
Yep. Agreed. If you look at if you're a good offensive rebounding team, like you're more physical, you play harder for longer. Like I think the difference between being good and great is getting your team to play harder for 3 seconds on every possession. Like, can we just complete the possession? We mentioned on the last podcast, I went and did a program clinic with a team here, and every rise of the shot, all 10 players just stopped and looked. And I was just like, hey man, I know we're doing a lot of lock left stuff, but your first shot defense can be really, really good. But if they're getting offensive rebound putbacks, it's all for nothing. Like, it's just a whole lot of wasted energy. So really encouraged.
That is the value, like, if of the flip side of the coin there is if you really emphasize offensive rebounding, it will make your team a better defensive rebounding team. In fact, that is, gosh, we should do another rebounding webinar. I mean, that is how you develop a better defensive rebounding team, is just teach, emphasize, require, play harder for longer, offensive rebounding. That might be an early round upset because I don't want to give it away, but I could be convinced.
I could be definitely be convinced if it was just rebounding in general. I think it would.
Specifics. Okay, fine. Go rebounding in general. You convinced me.
We're just setting ourselves up for a.
I know we are.
All right, Coach, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to make this episode a two-part. I hope you're enjoying us break down all the attributes of an expert coach. If you've listened this far, I hope you've identified ones that really resonate with you, maybe some of your strengths, but also some of your areas of growth. Tyler, anything you want to say before we end part one here?
Yeah, for the end of part one, who's an early favorite to win the whole thing? Answer in the comments right now. I'm excited to see what you have to say.
All right, see you in part two.
Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.